May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There will be times in life when we need to have difficult conversations. They may need to be with co-workers, our neighbours, or even people we know here at church. But perhaps it is most challenging to have difficult conversations with those we know best. For it can be especially hard to share hurt feelings, to ask for an apology, to confront where necessary our friends and our families, since some of those wounds can hurt the most. Difficult conversations are a part of life, but perhaps it's not something we do readily. We may prefer to grit our teeth, to ignore the problem, or maybe tell somebody else about our woes, rather than going directly to the person concerned. And perhaps for us, there are two contributing factors to this. The British desire to be as indirect as possible, and the Christian conviction to be nice. Jesus himself is pretty direct, and not concerned about niceness in the slightest. Later in Matthew's Gospel, he gives us a model of how to have difficult conversations. The first step is to go directly to the person involved. If they don't listen, the second step is to bring along a witness. And finally, if the person still doesn't listen to your complaint, Jesus says, then you can involve the church. Jesus assumes that difficult conversations are part and parcel of life. And indeed, difficult conversations are at the heart of the Christmas story. I wonder what it would have been like to have been a fly on the wall when Mary told Joseph about her encounter with the angel. It's in Luke's Gospel we find out more about Mary's conversation with Gabriel. She is alone, and in that very moment, she makes her decision to obey God. She says yes, without time for consultation or debate with her fiancé Joseph. She says yes, without knowing whether he will stick by her. She says yes, in faith. When I think of that conversation, I'm reminded of the statue of Mary that sits in the North Chapel. Tessa Hawkes, the sculptor, said that her original intention was for Mary's arms to be outstretched, saying almost, "Why me?" But try as she might, Tessa found that first one of Mary's arms dropped, and then the other. Tessa couldn't understand it until it seemed that Mary was saying, "Thy will be done." Mary's yes was so courageous. In a time where women needed the protection and security of men, she risked it all when she trusted God to provide for her and agreed to be the mother of Jesus. I wonder how Mary told Joseph what she had agreed with God. We don't know for sure, but it seems likely that she told him directly rather than waiting for him to find out through gossip. But here in our gospel reading today, we do get a glimpse into Joseph's mind. And we see that he didn't believe her. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. If Joseph believed that Mary had been unfaithful to him, he could have had her publicly tried as an adulteress, even stoned. But we see the strength of his character. That even when he believed that she had betrayed him, he did not seek to bring her the shame and the dishonor that he was feeling. Joseph may have struggled to believe Mary, but he was a man full of integrity and full of faith. So let's return briefly to the model that Jesus gives us for having difficult conversations. If the first step, addressing the person directly, does not work, then the escalated step is to bring along a witness. And so we see that through God's grace, God does send a witness. An angel goes to Joseph to be Mary's witness to these things. You might find these things odd, but trust me, they all are coming from God, is the angel's message. And the angel tells Joseph about the significance of Mary's pregnancy and invites him to trust in faith rather than react in fear. For no longer does God seek to communicate through intermediaries. Now God turns up right on the doorstep. This child is God in flesh, Emmanuel. God with us. Jesus is God's conversation with humanity. And this child will take away all the barriers that keep us from knowing God's generous love. He will save us from our sins, and he will be called Jesus, which means Savior, Deliverer. Joseph is now caught up in the conversation between God and God's beloved people. And he, like Mary, is invited to play his part. He is to marry Mary, and he is to fulfill the role of father for this baby as he names him Jesus. God does not stand far off, but comes very close to us through the willingness of two very surprised people, one who offers her body and the other who offers his protection. The conversations of Mary and Joseph had the potential of being really very difficult. Each of them could have said no to God. And yet, through God's grace, even the most impossible and difficult things become possible. And the outcome of those conversations changed the whole of human history and will change us today too, if we let them. Just as we are encouraged to communicate directly with others, so we can expect God to communicate directly with us. It can sometimes be hard to listen, as it was for Joseph. And if we struggle to listen to what God is saying to us, we may find that God sends a witness, or even communicates through the church, in order that we might hear and respond in faith. For God is long-suffering and of great goodness, and will not give up on us. May we look beyond the quaint nativity figures and see in Mary and Joseph models for us of sacrificial obedience, humility, and courage. And may we have the guts to listen and to expect God to communicate directly with us, as we, in turn, communicate directly with others. And may God give us the grace to respond in bold faith, since, in the words of a different king, Elvis Presley, God may require a little less conversation and a little more action, please. Amen.